today I'm going to be speaking about my research, which does look at the impacts of introduced parasitoids on a group of native leaf roller moths in the genus Omoeodes. And just to familiarize you with the group, there are 23 endemic species that occur in Hawaii, although the genus does occur elsewhere around the Pacific Rim. They're present on all of the high islands and one of the northwest Hawaiian islands, and the species are distributed anywhere from sea level up until about 6,000 feet. The larvae feed on monocots. They are leaf rollers, and here's some examples of typical feeding damage in the lower left corner. And adults are anywhere from dime to quarter size and have very variable coloration, which I think are really beautiful. There's three adults of varying species right there and one larvae up in the top corner. The group is unique for several different reasons. The first of all, the sugarcane leaf roller pictured above and the coconut leaf roller pictured below became pests of economic significance in Hawaii on those respective crops. And biological control agents were intentionally released to suppress those populations over a period of about 60 years. And to date, this is the only example that we are aware of arthropod biological control agents being released on endemic insects in Hawaii. Fast forward to the 1980s, and 14 of the 23 species have been listed as either extinct or possibly extinct by the Fish and Wildlife Service, as well as some other agencies. And those declines have primarily been attributed to the introduction of by the introduction of introduced biological control agents, despite the fact that habitat destruction, host plant disappearance, and the introduction of other non-native arthropods are probably also likely contributors. These accounts of the Omoeodes declines and extinctions really motivated some of the biological control legislation that was instituted around that time in Hawaii, sort of exemplify, and they were talked about exemplifying sort of the evils of biocontrol or the effects that they can have that are inadvertent. However, just as of 5 years ago, five additional Omoeodes species have actually been rediscovered. They were never actually extinct. Just through museum collections as well as additional field collections. And that really begs the question, well then what really are the impacts on this group and who is responsible for the declines? And so really the objective of my research is to try to quantify parasitism rates on non-target Hawaiian Omoeodes species. And I do that in two ways. First off, through surveys of wild larvae, and second, through controlled exposure trials with Omoeodes eggs and larvae. In order to conduct the surveys of wild larvae, we started back in 2005, and those have continued till present. The searches are mostly targeting host plants that we know the moths feed on, and then our haphazard, we look for feeding damage and then collect any larvae or pupae that we find, bring them back to the laboratory, rear them out, collect any data on emergences of adults and or parasitoids. Identify them to species. Up on the top left, you can see typical feeding damage with from Omoeodes larvae, and again, that's on coconut, and the bottom is on a native sedge. Results of the surveys of wild larvae are definitely variable depending on the species. To orient you, the x-axis are species, five different Omoeodes species. The y-axis is percent parasitism. The green is total number of emerged moths. Gray is unknown mortality, and blue is parasitism. So you can see parasitism ranges anywhere from 15 to almost 70% in some of the wild populations. And we didn't crunch any numbers on this data because I didn't quantify my search effort when I was looking for these species. But you can see that there is really variable parasitism, some really high in many of these species. The second component of the research are the controlled exposure trials, and the species that I selected to utilize in these trials is Omoeodes continuitalis, and you will notice that we didn't have any larval data from Omoeodes continuitalis on the previous slide. But this is a moth that was reported by early entomologists in Hawaii to be the most common moth collected prior to 1800, or 1880s, excuse me, and it was one of the Omoeodes species that was considered to be extinct, but has since been rediscovered. It is in much reduced distribution compared to what it used to be. It's only on three of the islands now. It's a grass generalist, so it actually does really well in some of the invaded grassland areas. And we selected it because it was listed as extinct, because it is a grass generalist, and so it has really similar life habits and also distribution as Omiotes accepta, the sugarcane leaf roller, so it was an excellent non-target species. So we thought to look at that, those non-target effects. Also, we were able to rear it in the lab, which is pretty key when you're using laboratory colonies. The field sites that we selected for the controlled exposure trials were all located on the island of Maui on the leeward slopes of Haleakala. There's five different field sites ranging in from low elevation, high elevation, and also varying levels of disturbance. Lowest elevation sugarcane field, mid elevation, a mixed native forest site, as well as a disturbed area adjacent to agriculture, and a higher elevation mixed a little bit more native forest site, and also disturbed pasture site. And all of those sites were chosen based on the fact that Omiotes continuatalis were available and present at those sites. At each of the sites, exclosures were deployed. Exclosures looked like modified 5-gallon buckets with coarse mesh screening. A sugarcane plant was placed inside each of those with anywhere from 1 to 4 larvae on it and left for an interval of exactly 4 days. They were then retrieved and brought back to the laboratory and reared to all emergence. And we had all instars deployed during that period, and overall we had a pretty good retrieval rate of about 70%. Over that same period, I also deployed eggs. Wax paper containing Omiotes continuatalis egg masses were placed on sugarcane foliage for 3 days and then retrieved and brought back to the laboratory, and we had about 80% retrieval rate on those. Also, baseline surveys were completed at each site to establish that the introduced and or other adventive parasitoids were present at the site through these different techniques, noise trapping, visual observations, and also light trapping. So the 2006 controlled exposure trials were really interesting because there was very little parasitism. To orient you again, we have field sites on the x-axis increasing in elevation as you go to the right, and y-axis is larval parasitism. Green is emerged adult moths. Gray, unknown mortality, and blue is parasitism, which you can't really see because there's only 2 individuals recovered from the 800 caterpillars that I deployed over the course of the entire summer. And the 2 individuals that were recovered were from an introduced biological control agent, a tuberconid Meteor lephigimae. But overall, these rates were much lower than what we had expected. Eggs showed a similar story. Green is, again, same field site, same axis. Green is emerged, gray is dead, and purple is, in this case, predation. There was no parasitism to speak of on any of the eggs that I deployed. So this was a little bit concerning. I didn't know if perhaps the exclosures that I developed had excluded the predators, if maybe my rearing conditions had caused higher mortality in the larvae that were compromised by parasitism, or if a fossorial behavior that we discovered during the course of the summer could have influenced the outcome of the parasitism trials. So in the 2007 controlled exposure trials, we tried to reduce the likelihood that some of these things might have happened. So the first thing we did was we eliminated one of the field sites on Maui and replaced it with a field site on Oahu, which is 2 islands away and a little bit closer to me. And also, that's an island where Omiotes continuatalis have been locally extirpated from. They're no longer present there naturally. And so we were thinking perhaps if you put them at a site where they had been extirpated by parasitism, maybe we'd see higher rates there. We also changed the exclosure, so there were no exclosures. There was just a simple tanglefoot barrier at the bottom of each of the plants. And the 2007 summer exposure trials did yield very similar results. Again, parasitism is in blue. The first 4 field sites on the x-axis are the same sites from Maui, and we, again, only saw 2 individual parasitoids that were recovered, which increased the rate to 2% instead of 0.01% parasitism. But then the 5th site on Oahu did recover about 20% parasitism, and that was showing us that basically it wasn't this fossorial behavior on Maui that had caused a reduction of parasitism at the other sites. And just to clarify the parasitoids that we were seeing, we did see one, the same introduced braconid biological control agents that probably constituted about 1 or 2% of the parasitism, but the other 18% of the parasitism was by 2 species that were adventive, that were accidentally introduced to the islands. So just to summarize, the field surveys to date show apparent mortality from parasitism at anywhere from 15 to 65%. in larvae of some of the Omoiodes species, while the controlled exposure trials indicate much lower parasitism. And it's likely that the species are, well, it's obvious that the species are experiencing disproportionate effects of these introduced parasitoids, but despite varying rates, a lot of these populations are quite sustainable and are, or seem to be persisting. So I believe it's more likely that the presence of other non-native arthropods, especially ants and invasive spiders, are probably likely contributing to species declines more significantly, and that's where future research should be directed. And with that, I'd just like to thank the people who have helped me.